Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast with your host, Brian Eisenhower. This podcast is brought to you by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC provides customized and structured coaching and training programs for real estate agents and team leaders, representing many of the top producing agents in North America. ICC also offers broker and owner consulting on agents recruiting, training, and retention. For more info, visit EisenhowerCoaching.com or find us on Facebook.
Okay, so here's what I was thinking about talking about today, because we're kind of in a weird time in general, like in society. We're at a very, very busy time in real estate. We're in the middle of the harvest season in July. So we have very low inventory. It's a very difficult time to communicate with people, I found at this time. I would refer to this as real estate negotiation training, you know, because that's something that I'd like to discuss is real estate negotiation training. But I don't want you to think in the traditional sense of real estate negotiation training. We have got a lot of people we negotiate with as real estate agents, not just buyer and seller negotiating over an offer. Although that's a big part of it, we're negotiating with tons of different people, whether it be our own clients, whether it be appraisers, whether it be escrow and title officers, lenders, just about, you know, right now with everyone being so busy, tensions tend to flare. You have agents that don't get offers accepted, so they get us frustrated. So there's a lot of knuckles banging and heads banging at each other in the summer months when things are very, very busy, that creates a lot of animosity between human beings. And one thing that I have found is the top agents, the most successful human beings in this world, are good at navigating through that animosity and not getting into it. They're not the ones fighting. They're not the ones yelling. They're not the ones being frustrated. The successful ones are usually kind of navigating the ship and just holding the wheels straight, and they're doing their best to get along with the most people. And that's the key to winning negotiations, is being able to communicate at a high level with lots of different people out there. So one of the quickest ways that we can start to categorize different people so that we're able to know how to deal with them differently and get what we want, whether that be the best service from a lender or the straight scoop from an escrow officer or a listing agent telling us how we need to write an offer to get it accepted or getting an offer accepted, you know, or winning the negotiation, the back and forth of the counter offers on the terms of getting accepted. So all of those different things, that ability to communicate with different types of people, becomes the underlying Jedi skill that makes certain people much better negotiators than others. And if you talk to people, you'll hear lots of people tell you how great of a negotiator there are. I've been through that my whole life, where you hear so many people think they're the best negotiator, that they can negotiate the best for lots of different reasons. And they all tend to think of negotiation. A good negotiator is the person that draws the line and drives a hard bargain. They're the person that says, nope, take it or leave it. They're the most stubborn person. The person that just stops and says, I'm either going to do it here, and then I'm going to make the other person come all the way to me. So they put up the biggest affront. And, you know, sometimes with certain types of people, that method does work. But oftentimes, that will not work. With the majority of people, in fact, that won't work. That does not make you a good negotiator. In fact, in the end, and most people that adopt that strategy with everyone never know that it's not working for them. They just walk away from 80% of the deals because people didn't meet them halfway. And they think, well, that's a bad deal because they didn't meet me halfway, or they didn't come all the way to me. So they miss out on a lot of good transactions, a lot of good opportunities in life, because they just drive a hard bargain with everybody. You understand there's different types of people that we need to negotiate with differently. And one of the things that, you know, one of the best tools that almost any great negotiation strategy or training is going to start with is going to be with behavior, right? And I know you guys, a lot of you have heard me talk about this before, but I think right now more than ever, it's very important that we take a look back into the DISC behavioral assessment. You can see in the chat room off to the side, at the bottom of your screen, you can click on chat if it's not opened up. I put a link off to the side in the group chat that you can click on, and it will take you to take, if you do not know your DISC's behavioral profile, you can go take an assessment right there. And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You'll get an email with your assessment report. So you'll know what your own DISC behavioral profile is. And so that if you don't know it, take the DISC. Again, it's a free thing. It's on my coaching website. You'll put in your email, take the DISC, take you about 15 minutes. You'll get an email and know what your DISC behavioral profile is if you don't know. You want to test somebody else, you can give it to them as well too. It's fine. It's a free thing. Doesn't cost me any money. So at this point, so go crazy with it. But in a nutshell, just as a brief overview, before we get into the nuts and bolts of how we use the DISC in negotiations, I do want to make sure I go over the DISC with you and kind of give you an idea of what the DISC means and what the different DISC profiles are all about. So what I'm going to do is share my screen with you really quick and give you a quick look at it. I'm going to start over here with the D behavior first. It's pretty easy. The D behavior is a very dominant, direct behavior. Okay, these people can be perceived as not very social. And I'm just going to start picking on people in the office since you all know each other in a lot of different ways. This is the person that, you know, often doesn't have time or doesn't want a lot of small talk. Okay, so people in the office, my wife, Robin, Apple Coriol's a D behavior, Jillian's a D behavior. These are actually very nice, very good people, but they're often in a hurry and they hate to have their time wasted, right? So stopping and chatting and small talk is not a D's strength, right? So if you have a client that's a D behavior, you need to be very quick and to the point with them. Long stories, lots of small talk, a lot of catching up is not going to win you a lot of points with this particular client. If you are a buyer's agent and you are working with a D behavior listing agent, boy, a lot of chatting is not a good idea. In fact, probably texting that person is a good idea because they don't want their time taken. They're very, 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 very guarded on time. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know, nor do I care. It just is. So we have to kind of play the game that's on the field. That's the game that's on the field with the D. So if you are an I behavior and you're talking to a D, understand that, you know, they're going to want you to end the, they're going to want to end that conversation very, very quickly, a lot quicker than you will. So know that about yourself. If you want to get along, if those people I just said are difficult for you to get along with, stop trying to shove a square peg through a circle hole. It's not going to work. They are different. So modify your behavior. Like if you just start becoming very quick with them and very fast and very courteous of their time, you don't ever bop in on them. They hate to be bopped in on. So if you just drop in unannounced, you train wreck a D and their entire life. I too am a D behavior. And for those of you that have ever worked in an office with me before, you know what it's like if you just bop in on me and say, hey, you got a minute. It doesn't go well with me because I am really protecting my time because I'm a D. That's what we do. We don't stop and have a lot of small talk. We don't chat a lot. Our goal is to get all our work done as fast as we can and then get the heck out of the office and get home. Every person that gets in the way of that, even if they have good intentions, becomes an obstacle to a D behavior. Because what? Because you represent more time. So if you look at the D over here, you will see the D, they move at a very fast speed, but their biggest fear is having their time wasted. And when I say, that's not an annoyance, it's not a frustration, it's a fear. They're afraid of it, like the boogeyman. So if you start wasting their time, it's horrifying to them, okay? Just like if we move over to the I behavior, they move fast too, but they're highly social. So they love people and they love small talk. Their fear, their biggest fear in the world is being rejected. So if an I behavior tries to warm up to a D behavior by just asking them a bunch of like bopping in, hey, it's me, how are you? Oh my gosh. And you start caring and asking and trying to get to know them, the I is going to get rejected by the D. I can tell you right now, because we're not speaking the same language. And what's going to happen is now the I is going to get its biggest fear. The D gets their biggest fear. You have totally broken all rapport between two people because of communication and behavioral style. So that's why if we are working with a client or a listing agent or an escrow officer or a lender, the first thing I want to know is what is their behavioral profile, because I'm going to treat them differently depending on that profile. And if you're just skipping that step and treating everyone the exact same way, that means you're just treating them the way you want to treat them. And that's not really taking into consideration the needs of your audience at all. Imagine if I got up in front of an audience of 100 people that only spoke Spanish and decided that I was going to speak German. That would not be very considerate of my Spanish-speaking audience. They wouldn't be able to understand anything I'm saying. So as a communicator, if I'm the one who's speaking, if I want to be well-received by the person I'm speaking to, I need to speak their language, which means I need to modify my behavioral style to adapt to them so they listen and they understand and we connect. So if you're wondering why you're going into a bunch of listing presentations and you're not getting the listing and other people are getting the listing, it might be because you're doing them all the exact same way and you're not even acknowledging or trying to determine what behavioral profile the animal is that's sitting in front of you, and you're not catering. Like if you're going in and doing a 3-hour listing presentation with a D behavior, we've got a problem, because they're gonna never want to see you again. Last thing I want is for you to present offers to me. Oh goodness, that might take 20 hours. I don't want to work with this person. Make sense? So we have to know this stuff. It's so important. It's the underlying Jedi mind trick. I mean, so many of you will say, hey, I really want to know what your listing presentation is so I can get more listings. You know, that's just a script. This is the hard stuff. I really want to know what your recruiting script is so I can recruit more agents. I really don't want to know how you close people to sign a buyer agency agreement. Guys, those are all scripts, and they're like icing on the cake. This is the cake. You have to be able to connect with people, meet all of their needs. So you have to change your whole communication style if you want to, because most people want to go into business with people they like. So if you're negotiating with someone, you're negotiating to get into a contract. You're negotiating to get into a business relationship, whether it be with a lender, with your client on a listing agreement, or even between a buyer and a seller on going under contract and going pending and going to the title company. You're trying to get into business with people, and people want to get into business with people if they click with, if they connect with. And the way you connect with someone is you match their behavior and you mirror and match your communication style. And if you do that, you'll be on the same wavelength, understanding each other, connecting with each other. So important. If we move down back over to my disc chart, if we look at our S behavior, these are very steady and stable, very calm, reserved people, right? So the S behavior is, I'm going to come back to me for a minute, is extremely steady in the sense that you won't hear a lot of voice fluctuation in them. They're going to be speaking in a much more subtle, reserved, quieted voice that's extremely calm. They're not going to be nearly as excitable as I normally am. They're going to start talking like this, and they won't talk that much. They tend to be more of a listener than a talker. They have a very strong filter on. So when we are talking about an S behavior, they are the ones that are always acting the most professionally, which is why they are the most common behavioral profile to find, because society raises S's. We teach people to be well-behaved, well-mannered, listen first, talk less. Those are all things that are the hero in most TV shows, movies, are S behaviors. Everybody wants to be that, because you're always behaving like you should be. If we move over, I'm going to go back to a screen share and show you my C behavior. The C behavior over here in the corner, they are, think of an engineer, right? They are also more reserved, but they're very analytical people. They are very robotic in their voice. So they will tend to speak like this with little gaps in between their words because they're speaking slowly to collect all of their thoughts, to ensure that every word that leaves their mouth is the correct word and it's enunciated clearly, because they don't like a lot of mistakes in everything they do. They love data, they liked a lot of research. So if we're going on a listing appointment with a C behavior, which we should be able to pick up on the phone, We know they're a C. That means I should be bringing them like 15 CMAs. And we should be going through lots of data, lots of comps, lots of analysis. Because if we're able to do that with a C seller, they'll be able to sign the listing agreement with you because they'll feel like you've done enough due diligence in your listing appointment to feel comfortable with going ahead and signing. Yeah, we've done enough due diligence. Because if you're too quick with a C, they're going to say, no, not yet, because they feel rushed. They feel like there should be more time spent on this. This is an important thing. So we got to do more work, even if it's useless work. Cs need data. They need research. So give it to them. Get to see what they want. Even though you know it really only takes about 5 minutes to look at their house and 5 minutes to look at the comps to get a good price for that house that it'll appraise for and it'll sell for. They want analysis over the type of dandelions they should plant in the backyard and the type of paint to put on the curb and the best times to show. They want lots of stuff that's really irrelevant to the home buying process, but they want to feel like they've done their due diligence and they've done the research. So that's the idea behind it. Knowing this D behavior, the I behavior, the S behavior, the C behavior, knowing their fears, knowing their motivators, knowing their bottom lines is very, very important to be able to negotiate with different types of people. So I know some of you guys have come on later. So if you did, please, if you look in the Zoom group chat notes, there is a link there where you can take your own DISC assessment to find out what your behavioral profile is. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. It's on my website. Just click on that link. It's about 15 minutes to take the assessment. You got to give them your email address and they'll send you a copy of your own customized report that'll tell you what your behavioral profile is. And boy, do I recommend doing that. Because you got to know who you are first if you are then going to modify your behavior to match somebody else's, right? So let's take a look. Does anybody have questions or thoughts about that? Ideas, things they want to chime in with along those lines? And this is my DISC style identification. Okay, so the first thing we got to do, because we unfortunately, when we represent different clients, we can't like give everybody a DISC assessment and then start, you know, if you have put an offer in with a listing agent, it might be unusual to ask the listing agent to take a DISC assessment so we can know how to communicate with them. So we've got to be able to kind of spot that behavior with our eyes, with our ears, with our mouth, and we've got to be able to kind of see who they are based on the way that they present to us, right? So one of the arts of the DISC and one of the benefits of the DISC is it's so widely used and it's very inexpensive. It's very important that we get good at spotting other profiles. When we are trying to spot profiles, that's very different than a lot of the behavioral assessments out there. Like for example, there's an assessment called a Myers-Briggs test. And in the Myers-Briggs test, which is expensive and it's very thorough and it's very detailed and probably much more accurate than the DISC, problem is you got it, and it's usually designed for a job and I can't spot it, right? So if you're hiring, yeah, use the Myers-Briggs test. Or Keller Williams has their behavioral assessment that they use. That's great if you're hiring for a particular job. However, if we are not hiring for a particular job, we can't have someone always take that test. If we can't have someone take a test, how are we going to spot behavior and adapt? And that's why the DISC is really the best behavioral assessment to use for negotiation practice as opposed for just hiring. For hiring, some of these other assessments could be a little bit more superior. But for just spotting it and negotiating and working with different people where we can't have everyone take the test, the DISC is great. Okay, so with that being said, let's go back to the DISC style identification. Looks like we got everybody muted there that was coming through. You can see over on the D behavior, it tells you, do go ahead and give them immediate feedback. Do concentrate on the subject. Talk about the steak, not the potatoes. You know what I mean? Get right to it. Don't beat around the bush. Just rip the Band-Aid off and get right to it. Or you're going to see a D behavior just going, oh my gosh, you know, like, come on. You'll see their hands even move, like, get to it, you I behavior, chatty Kathy, go. It's tough, right? They care about the results. They care about the score. They want to know the end all, right? Don't frustrate them. When they want to get into action, let them get into action, right? And do not spend a lot of time on the fluff like we talked about. The I's, let them talk, right? They are very sociable. They are very talkable. They're going to take a lot of time. So if you're in a listing appointment with an iBehavior, let them go. Smile, be happy. They want a lot of voice fluctuation. So get excited with them and get sad with them. Be up and be down and understand it's going to take a little bit more time because they want to get to know you. They really want to know, and they also want to know people you know. They're name droppers. So that, you know, people we have in common makes them feel a lot more comfortable and makes you feel trusted to them if we know a lot of people in common too. So let them talk like crazy. Whatever you do, don't make fun of them. Don't point out their enthusiasm in any type of negative fashion. Stay positive with them. Don't be negative in any way, shape, or form with an eye, or you'll see it across their face. They do not like it. So stay positive. The S is, like I said, calm, reserved, laid back. So let them speak. Speak more slowly. Slow your voice down and leave a few gaps in there so they can be a part of the conversation with you. So you open up a relationship to them. Don't talk over them. Don't steamroll them, especially in listing presentations. Care about their needs. Ask them about them. Find out where they met, how they got married. Learn about their history. You're going to have to bring them into the relationship by asking them questions, right? But don't be pressuring them. Don't be restless. Don't be too quick, right? And whatever you do, don't fail to deliver on your promise. If you say you're going to do something, you want to do it with an S, or they're going to notice it. Unlike the D's and the I's that move very, very quickly and may not notice it, S's are unforgiving about that. So don't do that. Your C behavior, like we said earlier, I think I covered this one. Lots of detail, lots of data. Don't be too chatty. The one thing about the C's, these are your engineers, your architects. They also like a lot of control, often a lot of doctors. They like a lot of control. So even though they don't really know what they're talking about when it comes to real estate, boy, they act like they know everything about it, and they're going to tell you the business. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that one. So what we want to do with those folks is really slow down and try to determine what behavioral profile we're dealing with. And if we just meet someone for the first time on the phone, that's the first thing I want to know is what profile is this person, and how do I modify my communication to be a way that they want to receive it? Do I need to be quick and to the point and blunt like a D? Do I want to talk and be effervescent and have lots of voice fluctuation like an I and really get chummy with them? Or with an S, do I want to slow it down and be calm and reserved and kind of get to know them on a one-on-one basis slowly? Or is it a C behavior where it needs to be really less about people and more about data-driven, like talking about, you know, neighborhood comps and interest rates and things like that? So I need to know that because that's going to gear where my conversation goes. It's also going to gear how I talk to just about any other person that I'm negotiating with. And in real estate, as realtors, we negotiate with everybody. Almost everything is trying to explain to people why they need to take action in the way that we advise. For some reason, as realtors, we have to convince every client why our way is the correct way, you know, why they need to get pre-qualified first, why they need to come in for a buyer consultation, why they need, you know, all of those different things. They tend to want to do it their way, and we need to explain it our way. So we're actually negotiating over just whether it could be defending our commission. We're really negotiating about everything with everyone. And if you want to be successful in that, we have to layer that underlining behavioral alignment, and we have to be able to click with each other at the very outset if we're going to start getting people to follow our instructions. Does that make sense? Has anybody encountered this lately where they adapted their behavior in a way to accommodate the behavioral profile of another person, whether it be a client or another agent or whoever it might be? And you found that you got a different response from them because you spoke their language. Anybody can give an example of that recently out there?
Yeah, I had that happen recently, Brian.
What happened? Let's hear it, Reese.
A client of mine just absolutely didn't want to budge on price, didn't want to hear anything that, in his opinion, was not how it wanted to go. And I'm not a super aggressive person, and I didn't get overly aggressive with him, just laid it out to him the same way of like, okay, it's this, this, or this. If you don't like it that one of those ways, then there's nothing we can do. And just putting it to him like that just totally flipped his whole, like, flipped his script. He immediately was like, okay, well, let's try this and this. And he kind of took the back seat to me, kind of just getting more aggressive with him, you know, just doing the way, being the way with him that, that he was with me. Of yeah, like, here's how I want it. Sure. It's this, this, or this. And I laid it down to him. Okay, like, here's how it is. It's this, this, or this.
That's great. That's what, and that's mirror and matching right there. I'm taking it. This guy was probably a D behavior, maybe a C behavior, Reese.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah. So a lot of you, I mean, I think this is really important because I cannot tell you how many success stories like this I hear. I mean, it's usually communicated differently. Like someone will say, well, I really stood up to that guy. And because I stood up to that guy, you know, and that's true. I guess that is what Reese is describing there. But you, what you're really doing is talking to a D behavior like a D talks to you. You're just matching his behavior back, right?
Right.
And so you cut to it. And you'll be surprised how often you get the respect of that D behavior because they stood up to you. So long as you do it quickly and you speak their language, like don't give them a 30-minute argument. Like what Reese did was perfect. He said, nope. Here's my way. Here's why. 1, 2, 3. Fast, quick, concise, to the point. And they'll respect that because now you're speaking their language. You're now explaining it to them in a way that they love, even though it disagrees with them, even though they don't agree with it or they want to go a different route. You stood up, you spoke their language, and you mirror and match back speaking the exact same way, which is to the point. The one thing I will caution out there, especially with Ds, and I always have to say this disclaimer out there with D behaviors, because I mean, I don't want you to get steamrolled by agents, especially you're going to see a lot of top listing agents for whatever reason tend to be D behaviors. So they'll tend to steamroll you as the buyer's agent, like a second class citizen, because, you know, there's 15 buyer's agents trying to put an offer on their house. So who, you know, who cares about any of you? I'm the listing agent, right? So they'll steamroll you. And they'll just say, hey, just give me an offer, or just shut up, or just do this, or just do that, or just do that. And they'll be kind of rude to you. I do want you to stand up to that, but I also don't want you to get them angry so that it hurts you or your client's best interest. So it's very important if someone comes at you with anger, I do want you to match with anger, but not anger back at them. Does that make sense? So like if someone's mad at you, like let's say your client's mad at you, like, man, I can't believe we missed out on that offer. Man, if you had told me to write a higher offer, I would have got it accepted. I mean, I'm all cash and they're not, blah, 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 blah. And man, do I need to get another agent that's more aggressive? At that point in time, I would not get angry at him back, but I would get angry, right? So then I might be, you know what? You're right. It is really frustrating. It does upset me because it's a very highly competitive market. And I don't think that listing agent gave you a fair shake or our offer a fair shake. And that gets me mad too. And I'm upset about it. So now I'm showing that D behavior that I care. I'm giving him validation that I hear him and that I'm mad too. And I understand his frustration. I'm just redirecting it at somebody else or something else, the market or another person. I'm not getting mad at him for getting mad at me. I'm getting mad to give him validation. So you've always heard about that, right? You hear about when you're connecting with someone, you need to give them validation that you hear them, right? This is like counseling 101. If someone's got a problem, you need to tell them that you hear them. So you validate back and repeat the question so they know that you heard them. Well, this is true too, but it's kind of like taking it to another level because what I'm doing is not only telling them I hear them, I'm showing them through my emotion, through my eyes, through my hands, through everything I'm saying, through the tone of my voice, the speed of my voice, I'm proving to them that I understand how they feel because I'm getting upset too. Make sense? So that creates a much, much more sincere connection in the relationship. And master negotiators know how to create that connection, okay? Think about it. Think about how many darn movies you've watched where some guy's about to jump off a building and commit suicide, and they bring in a master negotiator from the FBI to talk that guy down off the ledge. What's the first thing that negotiator starts trying to do? Connect, create a bond. So that's what a good negotiation, this is why when I started this out, when I said we're going to talk about real estate negotiation training, and then I move into the DISC, and I told you, the guy that just bargains like he's at a, you know, Tijuana, Mexico flea market, that just keeps saying, hey, I want that Bart Simpson doll. $6, take it or leave it. Nah, man, I'm out of here. And it just drives a hard line in the negotiations. That's really rookie elementary school negotiation. There is a Jedi level of negotiation out there that involves behavior where you can spot this type of person based on how they talk, dress, speak, act. I mean, you guys should see, look at my hands. Have you noticed I've kept my hands moving in the picture the whole time? What behavioral profile does that?
D.
What's that? No, actually, you would think it's a D, but it's not necessarily.
An I.
It's an I, right. Right, eyes talk with their hands a lot. I'm a DI behavior. A lot more D than I, but I'm gonna be very expressive. So if someone's speaking to me, I'd probably be talking with my hands too. If I'm talking to an S, I'm gonna sit on my hands. I'm not joking. I can't tell you how many times I've sat on my hands when I'm talking to an S or a C behavior because it's distracting to them. Make sense? So knowing those differences creates the connection, and that's important. Okay, one last thing. Okay, so that's, I do like, I want you to remember that in our negotiations, start practicing with every human, with your spouse, with your friends, with people at the grocery store, with whoever's checking you out at the checker. Start trying to say, what profile is that? Is that a D, an I, an S, or a C? Start practicing spotting it. And then start modifying how you communicate with them. And start practicing and watch how many more people you click with, okay? That will get you clients. That will convert clients. That will also help you negotiate through thick spots. It'll help you have very difficult conversations. Because some of the hardest conversations, boy, that's when you really settle down and try to pay attention to your profile, right? And this stuff gets very deep. I'm just trying to give you the intro level, but I'm assuming you're negotiating verbally, but oftentimes you're negotiating in writing. So if a D behavior gives you an email, it's typically going to be one sentence. If you're a C behavior, your natural tendency is going to be to respond with an essay, 5 paragraphs, opening, closing, and 3 main points in the middle. IRAC formula, right? And so that's going to come back and you're not mirror and matching at all. As a D, I'm like, oh, look at this. I got to read this whole thing. Do I have to respond to all of this? Like, oh, this is a nightmare. So I'm turned off before I even start reading the subject matter of what you're negotiating about. Or if I'm a C behavior and I give you 3 paragraphs and you're a D and you respond back with one sentence, you're going to make me feel like you're sloppy, that you can't write. You might be unintelligent, definitely, definitely not, you don't care that much if you just took the time to write one sentence back and I gave you an essay. So mirror and matching communication is crucial. Mirror and matching communication is crucial. Understand that S's and C's typically like to email more. I's and D's like to text more. So you'll start to know that. So start to learn to modify and speak their language as much as you possibly can, especially as you're moving into negotiations, because you will have more favorable negotiations for you and your clients if your relationship is better with the person that you're negotiating with, if that makes sense. Okay, so I see some things in the notes that I saw on here. Again, the link, if you want to know your own DISC behavioral profile, please go in the link I put in there at therealestatetrainer.com/DISC/. You can take your own DISC and get your own email for free, no problem there. So again, that's therealestatetrainer.com/DISC/. And you will be able to take your own DISC for free, which is kind of cool. Andrew, are there basic upfront questions you can initially ask to help identify their behavioral style? Ooh, that's a heck of a question. Yes, there are some basic upfront questions with that. But believe it or not, it's not necessarily the answer, it's how they answer, right? So I think a lot of you guys have seen our buyer and seller lead sheets, okay? Our buyer and seller lead sheets. It's a question like if you've got a lead on the phone, someone who wants to buy a property, that's a buyer lead. We pull out the buyer lead sheet. Someone who's interested in listing their property, they're going to pull out the seller lead sheet, right? And again, if you guys don't have these, you can go to therealestatetrainer.com and pull it up. But I'll give you a heads up on there. But the buyer lead sheet has a series of questions that you can use to fill out. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share that with everybody here, a link where you can download a free one of those as well. How's that? It's a fillable buyer lead sheet. Okay. And that's a list of questions. And believe it or not, I'm not asking them about their behavior because that gets kind of weird. You know, like, hey, man, so do you like people or not? It starts to get kind of awkward. So what we're doing is asking them general questions about them and their situation to help them buy a house. And it's the way they answer that helps us spot, right? Like, for example, if they start speaking in more of a monotone voice that's slower in tempo. A slow tempo tells me they are definitely an S or C. So the first thing we listen for is rate of speech, how fast they talk. So if they talk slower, it's an S or a C behavior. But if they talk fast, like I tend to, we know that's a D or an I, okay? So that's the easiest thing, is to kind of split people in half between D and I and S and C based on the rate of speech, okay? So then if we go up to the D and the I, because they're a fast talker, do they shut up? If they shut up fast, D. If they keep talking a lot, I. Make sense? So the D will be real short. They'll talk, and they'll talk fast, but it'll be quick. They'll end each sentence. They'll be the one that ends each phone conversation. You'll find yourself trying to keep them on the phone because they're always wrapping up. A D behavior is trying to get out of every conversation the minute they get in it, okay? The I is trying to get to know their, you're gonna hear the I. They'll also, I's will have big voice fluctuations because they get, like, their emotion comes through in their talk. So they'll be excitable, they'll be, you know, happy, they'll be sad. They're like, oh my gosh, that's so great, that is so cool. I absolutely love that. See how I use the word love? That's a feeling word. A D's not gonna use that. That hurts my heart, I, not a D. You know what I'm saying? That makes me so happy. They say emotional words a lot. So that's the I. The D is going to sound a little bit more clinical. They're going to be fast talkers, but they're going to be short and to the point. The SC, now separating the SC is much harder. That's probably the hardest thing to spot, is the S, because the S's by nature are just so guarded because they're very professional. So they're behaving like they should be always. Right? So they actually have a filter up and they're just behaving. I mean, everybody wants to be an S. Everybody wants their kids to be an S. So it's hard to tell, is that an S or is that just somebody behaving like they should be, you know, because they're just being an S. So it's easier to say, are they a C or not? Because C's stand out. Okay. C's are definitely data driven. They talk slow with gaps in between their words. They sound almost robotic in a monotone, but they also try to take control. That's where the S's don't try to take control. You've all worked with a C at some point where they thought they knew best and they wanted to dictate how things would go. Even though you're the realtor and you know how things should go to get them what they want to start driving and taking control. Now that could be a D behavior or a C, but if they're speaking slowly and monotone without much emotion at all, that typically starts to become the C. They get very analytical. They don't really want to get to know you. They don't want to talk about other people. People doesn't come into the conversation at all. They could care less who you know or who you know in common. They're going to talk all about the comps, the stats, the data. They want to know where you're marketing. They want to know how much you charge. They want to know the details. They don't care about the people involved as much. So separating those are much, much more difficult. So I hope that helps a little bit with everyone. Does that kind of answer your question, Andrew? So it's how they say, not so much what they say. So just being able to ask a lot of questions and have them answer, and then you listening for how they answer is the key. And it comes with practice, but you'll get it down. Okay, does that help? I'm hoping that helps. Okay, so it sounds like you guys got all the links, which is good. Thanks. All right, guys. Well, I hope that helps you guys with your negotiations. Again, this was real estate negotiation training, really using the DISC behavioral assessment, by using behavior as our underlying foundation to build rapport and communicate in a method and in a way that builds rapport and builds a relationship so we can get both ourselves and our clients what they want. Okay? So guys, have a good one. I hope this helps. And again, every Tuesday, we will be back here at 1 o'clock. So I hope more of you jump in and join in, and we'll go from there. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch Brian's training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or find us on social media. And remember, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.